victory in Jesus Christ. The Lord has given us victory through his death, burial, and resurrection. And so we thank God that we have the victory in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We got a couple of announcements, things that we want to share with you. Next Saturday, which is the 17th, Mrs. Ruby Mickles will be celebrating her 100th birthday. So we want you to come out at 2 p.m., help us celebrate a centenarian, is that what you call it? Centurion is a soldier, okay, centenarian. So we want to celebrate with her 100th birthday. Her daughter, Brenda, we've already received some cards, and so we want you to help us celebrate her birthday. Also, for those of you that are joining us online and also in person and in the parking lot, go to our website. You're going to find a lot of resources, a lot of things to help you to grow in your faith, and got a lot of manuscripts that we prepared and almost like a history, my vocabulary is going blank on me. It's a lot of stuff there. A lot of good stuff. www.crossroaddc, where you can log in and find some resources. Listen to past sermons. Read manuscripts. Also, we refer you to other sites where you can go and share devotionals. And I think that will be important for you and your faith. Amen? Got a couple of thank you cards I want to read to you. This one comes from Brother Harold Parker. He thanks the church for praying for them and supporting them in the loss of his mother. He says, thanks for the gift of love given at a time of my mother's passing. Church family, you always do so much, and it's always appreciated. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Harold Parker and family. This thank you also comes from the Patterson family, Mrs. Dolores Patterson's family thanks and acknowledges the church with deep appreciation for your kind expression of sympathy. Thank you. So that comes from the Patterson family. Amen? Amen. Well, it's springtime. We got a lot of things to do. I want to encourage you a couple of sermons, and I'm already working on a Mother's Day sermon, so I'm going to talk about amazing mothers. Not amazing mothers, amazing mamas. Amazing mamas is different. Amazing mamas. So that'll come up on Mother's Day, which is coming up second Sunday in May. So we got a lot going on here at the Crossroad Baptist Church. For those of you that are joining us online, we are entering back in. Well, we've been doing that all along, but we are receiving more as we have less and less of the outbreak of this pandemic. So we're using precautions. Everybody got the mask on. Used to be a time that we only wore masks and, around Halloween. Now we're wearing masks year-round, Al, so I don't know. We'll get there, amen? Some of us getting used to it, amen? But thank God for his goodness and his grace. Turning your Bibles to the book of Daniel. Going to be there for a couple of Sundays, and we're going to be talking about life choices. Life choices. What kind of choices are you making? And how those choices impact your life. Daniel made some choices in his life, and the question that we ask, most people say, is it a good choice? Well, I want to ask you another question. Is it a God choice? Because only what you do for Christ will last, right? Only what you do to honor him and to speak of his glory. So in Daniel chapter 1, we find this Old Testament prophet. And now, trust me when I tell you this. At the time when he was serving God, he did not call himself a prophet. He was just trying to do what was right. How many of y'all are there? But as we look back upon the life that he lived and the messages and things that he received from God, the Lord had him at the status of being a prophet because of the fact that God revealed certain things to him. But I believe it all boils down to the choices we make. Someone said that the choices you make will eventually be the choices that make you. That's a good thought. So I want you to think about life choices
And the book of Daniel chapter 1, we find an interesting verse. They had been carried away into captivity, he and his companions. And in verse 8, it says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of food from the king's table, nor with the wine that he drank. Daniel purposed in his, what? Heart, that he would not defile himself with the portion of food from the king's table, nor with the wine that the king drank. Once you look at somebody, don't touch them. Just look, unless they're a family member, and then you can touch them. But look at them and say these words, there is a line I will not cross. Look at somebody else, tell them, there is a line I will not cross. God bless you. You may be seated. There is a line that we shouldn't cross. But a line means nothing if you don't draw it and if you don't stick to it. Father, we thank you again for this awesome opportunity that we have of entering into this place. Pray you'd bless us, bless those that are in the parking lot, those online. May we learn of you today. May we sanctify our hearts and learn your word, God, that we might be able to enjoy your blessings and all of the wonderful things that you provide for us. We pray that you would open our minds and hearts now to receive your engrafted word. In Jesus' name, and all the people of God said, amen. You make choices every day. You go to your closet and you pick something to wear. That's a choice. You say, well, what shall I eat? That's a choice. Some choices are simple. Some choices don't require a lot of thought. But then there are times in your life where you're called upon to make some very severe, some very important choices. People make choices about who they'll spend their life with. Who am I going to marry? People make choices, where am I going to live and what kind of occupation will I have in life? Those are choices, and those are choices that you should not take lightly. This being Youth Sunday, I want the youth to understand something. You've got to be careful of your choices because every choice has a consequence. Whether it's good or bad, every choice you make has a consequence. So you got to think about the choices that you make. But then also, every choice you make also has responsibility. People say, well, I had no choice. Well, you had a choice. Even choosing not to choose is a choice. You do have a choice. I have a choice. It's whether or not I want to exercise it. One of the things that we did when we were growing up, we used to draw a line, you know, when we, you know, what it was when nowadays people just fight. But what we would do, we would draw a line and we would dare the other person cross that line. And then sometimes if the person was bigger than us, we'd draw another line. But you have these choices and you have to draw these lines in life. You have to make sure that you understand the gravity of the decision that you are making because you need to be responsible and so do I. You need to be responsible. And if you're going to do that, you got to make sure that you know what choice you're making. Get all the information that you can if you have the time to do that. Sometimes you have to make a choice on the spur of the moment. Pray about it because prayer doesn't take that long. How many of y'all know that? You can pray in a matter of a second. Peter decided whether or not he was going to sink or call on Jesus. He had stepped out of the boat and he had a choice to make. His first choice was, let me step out of the boat. The other disciples said, well, we don't have no choice. Yeah, you did. You can either stay in the boat or get out. Peter chose to go to Jesus, but then he made another choice. When the waves were boisterous, he had to make a choice. Do I sink or do I pray? And instantly he prayed and God saved him. You have a choice that you can make in life. And I pray that you would exercise that choice. I ran across this poem, and it's simply titled, I Choose. It says, I choose to live by choice, not by chance. I choose to be motivated and not manipulated. to make changes, not excuses, to excel and not compete. I choose self-esteem over self-pity. I like that. I choose to listen to my inner voice, not the random opinions of others. I continue to do the things that others won't do so I can continue to do the things that others can't do. I choose. What a powerful poem, and it's anonymous. We don't know who wrote it, but we're certainly repeating it, and I'll claim it. Thank you very much. Socrates says, excellence is never an accident. It is always the result of intention, sincere effort, and intelligent execution. It represents the wise choice of many alternatives. Choice, not chance, determines destiny. Choice, not chance, determines destiny. People say, well, he just got lucky. No, he just got blessed. Somewhere along the line, he made a choice. And even what we might call a blessing, I don't know. It depends on how people handle it. It depends on how they deal with the situation. And as we look at Daniel, I don't want you to think that Daniel was more privileged than you are. Don't ever look at the outcome of his life and say, well, you know, he was a man of God. Let me tell you his circumstance as we introduce him. Daniel was a captive. That meant an army had invaded his homeland, taken him from his homeland, brought him to a strange place called Babylon. They had a strange culture. They worshiped idols, not Jehovah. They did things that were against what Daniel believed in. And in that strange culture, that strange land where folks ate strange food, Daniel said to himself, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go along with this. I don't want to buy into the system. It's easy for us sometimes when we feel the pressure of life and the world around us to say to ourselves, well, everybody else doing it. When in Rome, well, you ain't in Rome. Or at least Rome ought not to be in you. You've got to make a choice. Here he was, hundreds of miles away from his homeland and saying to himself, I've got standards. Yes, the conditions are bad. And I want you to note also that Daniel was of the royal seed, as the scripture tells us, which meant he was of the family of those who used to be kings. So he had somewhat of an influential position. He was born into it. And even though he's a young person, probably around the age of maybe 16, he says to himself, I will not defile myself. Some of you, you go into high school, you've been raised in a good Christian home, you go into high school and you see everybody else doing things, saying things, and acting certain ways, and then you feel the pressure, and wait a minute, something on the inside says, don't do that. How many of y'all been there? Now, I want to tell you, I made a lot of mistakes when I was growing up. But if I could go back, my older self, if I could go back and say to my younger self, here's what I'd say to my younger self. Hey, fool, wake up. Make a better choice. God was gracious to me and allowed me the opportunity to make other choices to turn from that way to a way that was acceptable in his sight, the way of the Lord. And that's the only way I made it. Because the bad choices, if they were left to run their course, would have destroyed me. I admire Daniel because here he is at that young age drawing a line and saying, I will not cross. Let me ask you another question. Have you drawn a line? Have you said to yourself, there are certain things that I will not do, certain things that I will not participate in? Have you drawn the line? If you have not, well, anything goes. Wind blow where it wants to, and there you go with it. Or have you said, I got standards. And this is to all of us, not just young people. There are times in your life, as an older person, you tried stuff and it didn't work the first time. And so you say to yourself, oh no, I'm not going that way. How many of y'all have been there? I'm not going to make that same mistake again. I'm not going down that same street because I always get the same results. So how is it that you choose? How is it that you make this choice? Did Daniel all of a sudden accidentally stumble into it? And so as I looked at the passage, the Word of God began to speak to my heart about certain things that I could do, and I want to pass those on to you. I want you to know that you can make a choice. You can draw the line. You can say to yourself, I won't cross this because I know it'll mean trouble. I know it will mean something that will ultimately destroy my life. Four things that Daniel did, and they're going to hurry up and close today. Not hurry up and close. We don't need to hurry up and close. Why do we need to hurry up and close? Somebody look at him and say, preach, preacher. That's what I'm going to do. Amen. Daniel decided in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's food, nor with the wine that he drank. Let's look into this text now. There was an opportunity for Daniel to move up in life. He's away from his homeland in a strange country, but all of a sudden the king's court or the royal leaders, they see something in Daniel, say, hey, this might be a good candidate here. This might be somebody that we could use, and they could be instrumental in our government. We need people to run our government, all right? Daniel, being an Israelite, he was picked in, along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember those guys, right? They were also picked along with him, and they said, now, we got this process that you go through. And at the end of this process, we're going to give you a certificate of completion that says you now qualify for leadership because you went through this course. Part of the course says you got to eat this food. And you got to drink the wine that the king drank. In other words, whatever his lifestyle was, it needs to be your lifestyle. Daniel looked at it and said, wait a minute, let me check out this menu here. What, eating pork? No. Eating fatback? No. More than that, this food had been dedicated to an idol god. Ah. And Daniel said, I got some problems with that. I can't defile myself. Not only is it not according to our dietary laws, but it's been dedicated to a God that I don't serve. Wow. Boy, this guy is serious. But wait a minute, Daniel. Here's your opportunity. You, Shadrach, and Meshach. Are you kidding me? Eat the food and just say, Lord, no, thank y'all. Forgive me for what I'm getting ready to do. How many of y'all pray that prayer? And let me tell you from experience, that one don't work either. You don't pray God to bless when you're getting ready to do something you know you ought not to do. You ought to slap yourself. So Daniel purposed. Look at the word. Strong word. It's more than made up his mind. He resolved something in his heart. It was a heart decision, Gary. It was a decision that involved, yes, you think about it, but you also pray about it. And you commit it to God. That's what Daniel did. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's food. Here's the first thing that you need to write down in your notes of those four that I've listed. Daniel chose purity over pleasure. He chose purity to keep himself pure over enjoying the pleasure. As I share this with you, we see this young man a dedicated Jew, having been brought up in the ways of Judaism, being taught the word of God, but now he's not in his homeland. He's in Babylon. But he will not allow the ways of Babylon to rule his life. He purposed in his heart, he kept that way of purity, and surely some of that food would have been great. Man, that's good food. Well, preacher, if he didn't choose all of the food of Babylon that would brought him much pleasure, by the way, you know, drinking wine will bring you a whole lot of pleasure, but it'll bring you a hangover later. Y'all still here? Let me skip the wine today, okay? Hey, we ain't gonna talk about wine today. Look at somebody say, we ain't gonna talk about wine, okay? We're not gonna talk about it. But what about the food we eat? Have you ever thought about that some stuff you put in your body may not be good for your body? Let me tell y'all about the tale of two hot dogs. I've been on blood pressure medicine since my late 30s, and I decided one day I'm going to get me two hot dogs. I'm talking about Jesse Jones turned to water red hot dogs. These are not your average ones. These are the good ones, boy. So I dressed them up with some chili. Reverend Givens, I put some mustard on them. I said, man, I'm going to enjoy these hot dogs. And as I consumed those two hot dogs, about an hour later, one hot dog got on one side of my head, and the other hot dog got on the other side of my head, and Jesse let it, well, you know, you were there, and it let me go after about 2 days. But those hot dogs wore me out. Everything that looks good ain't good. And Daniel requested of the person that was over them what they call the chief of the eunuchs. He was the one that was supposed to be raising them in the culture and the ways of Babylon under the king's rulership. He gave them that food, but it was not good for Daniel. And Daniel said, just give us some beans and some soup to eat and we'll get along fine. Sometimes your ways of purity are not always acceptable with people who are over you. But here's what God had done. Because Daniel chose purity over pleasure, God had given him, you know, when somebody gets favor in your sight, you got a boss maybe that they like you and they're trying to do things to help you to grow in the company. Y'all been there? That ain't your boss. That's God working through your boss. Are you still here? Now, I'm not talking about manipulation. I'm talking about blessings. I'm talking about the favor of God. I'm talking about when God gets ready to use you, he's going to bring you into the presence of people that can help you. The only reason, I want to preach here for some reason, the only reason why some of you got to the place where you did in life, somebody looked at you and said, you know what, you got favor in my sight. But that was not them. That was God working through them to bless you. God, oh, wish somebody would shout out, he brought me from a mighty long way. Come on, shout it out. Yeah, nobody knows your journey. Nobody knows what you've been through to get to where you are now. But God showed you favor. God looked down on you. God said, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to use them to bless you. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. I got to get back to the sermon. I'm about to get happy up here. So Daniel chose purity over pleasure. He said, I want to keep myself pure. And now this chief over the eunuchs said, Daniel, you all right with me in my book, but I got a boss that I report to. And that might not set well with him. If here it is, you're supposed to be graduating and you can barely make it across the stage because you're too weak. That's not going to look good if you're all haggard looking and everyone else is looking nice and fat and well-nourished, and here you are. And Daniel, here's the wisdom that God gave this man. Daniel said, let's try it and see if it works. I like this. Another choice. He could have backed down and said, okay, well, maybe you're right. Maybe God understands. Here's another choice. So the second thing I want you to write down is Daniel chose piety, P-I-E-T-Y. That's an old Puritan word. He chose piety over power. All he had to do, Fred, was just go with the rules. Okay. And instantly he would have been promoted. Now, please don't get me wrong. Had Daniel accepted this way of the king, he probably would have gotten somewhere, but he would not have gotten to the place where God wanted him to be. I don't want to just be somewhere. I want to be in the place where God placed me. Because if God put you there, nobody can take you out of it. If God sets you up, nobody can knock you down. Remember we talked about dominoes the other Sunday. And how many of y'all are stand-up domino? You're not a fall-down domino. What do you mean by that, preacher? You say to yourself, I ain't falling for that no more. I'm not getting in line, and I'm just everybody else tumbling over. Here I go also. No, God will put you into a stand-up position. Something on the inside of you said, you know what? I'm going to make a choice, and I'm going to stand. The Bible tells us, stand and having done all in the evil day, having done all to stand. That's what we got to do. The church doesn't need to be falling for every kind of stuff that comes along in this life. And people talk about, I've been sent by God. Well, where's your word at? What kind of word are you standing on? And how are you living for God? If you're standing for God, then do what this Bible says. Are y'all still in the house? You got to choose God's way, which is piety. You got to choose the righteous way, which is living for God, over by saying, well, I'll do it by any means necessary. That's where a lot of people go wrong. A lot of people have gone wrong. They've said, well, any means necessary. That may not be God's way. God has a particular standard for you to live by. And that's the one that Daniel chose. He said, Lord, I want to do this the right way. I want to honor you. Are y'all getting something? Purity over pleasure. Piety over power or authority. You know, people do anything for money. They sell their grandma for money. Come on, somebody. They give up on life for money. Money can't get you everything. Money can't buy you. And the Beatles already told you back in the 60s, can't buy me love. Don't expect it. But when you make a decision for God, now you got everything. May not have a dime in your pocket, but with God with you. Oh, come on, shout somebody. With God with you, he's more than the world against you. I'm almost done. Some of y'all counting. I'm on the third one now. So Daniel purposed in his heart. He talks to the chief of the eunuch, says, we can do this. Give us 10 days and we'll try it out. How did he know that it was going to work? I mean, it's one thing to say, I'm not going to eat the king's meat, but how do you know that eating bean soup is going to work? Number one, I look at his age and say, bro, you ain't been living long enough to know this kind of stuff. So here's what I come up with. Daniel chose prayer over promotion. He chose prayer. Now, it does not state it in the text, and I'm not making a stretch when I tell you, but it does imply in the text that they had to have been praying. You just don't know stuff like that. But as you read the rest of Daniel, you'll find out that prayer was his way of life. He never did anything without praying. As a matter of fact, when he left Jerusalem and saw the destruction of the city, he had to pray, Lord, what are we going to do now? Walking away, seeing lives being killed by an enemy. And now that same enemy has you as a captive. Don't tell me he didn't pray. You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, but you know the one that brings. I wish somebody would talk to me up in here. He chose prayer. He didn't say, well, let me just get out here and scuffle. Well, you know what we say on the street? Let me get my hustle on. You know, your hustle ain't going to get you through this. You can't scheme your way out when the devil has a better scheme than you. But when you know God, when you know that he didn't bring you this far to leave you now, somewhere in his prayer life, God began to speak to Daniel and said, Daniel, keep walking, bruh. You're going to find my way. And God didn't bring you this far to leave you now. How many of y'all know that? Yeah, you got to shake your head. Yeah, you got to cry sometime. Yeah, you got to go through some suffering and some struggle. But one thing you know, the same God that brought you saved thus far is going to keep on leading you every step of the way. I'm about to get happy because I pray and I know that God is real. Know he's real. The devil can come up and whisper lies in your ear and tell you what ain't gonna work. But you tell him, I know who does work. My plan might not work, but God's plan always works. He never fails. He never fails. That's why you're gonna trust him. I see Daniel now and his three companions drawing the line. If I gotta eat soup, then I'm gonna eat soup. I may not drink the king's wine, but I'll just drink some old plain water. How many of y'all grew up in the country and you had that old stuff called Kool-Aid? Amen. I can't drink all the Gatorade and all of the other stuff, the energy drink. I just drink some old-fashioned Kool-Aid. Put a little sugar in the water, amen. My grandma would stretch Kool-Aid as far as it could go. Other folk would just take one pack and make 1 gallon. She would take one pack and make 5 gallons. Yeah, but we drank some tainted water, but it had a little sugar in it. Are y'all still here? Praise God for Kool-Aid. We got blessed. We got blessed because we chose. And what I want to leave you with today is you have the power of choice. As Viktor Frankl found himself in the Holocaust, seeing great destruction all around him, he discovered what was known as the last liberty. And that last liberty says, you can choose how you're going to accept this. I can't stop stuff from happening to me. But I tell you what, I can stop it from getting on the inside of me and discouraging me. Telling me that if I ain't dead, I ain't gonna die. Amen. Look at somebody and say, if I'm not dead, I'm not dying over this. I'm gonna keep on going. Huh. God is an awesome God. You choose prayer. Prayer works. You ought to pray. The psalmist who wrote the Psalms, he said, I will pray and I will look up unto the Lord. But he found out that was not enough. He said, I pray every day, but that was not enough. Then he said, I pray 3 times a day, but he found out God was so good, you got to pray more. He said, I pray 7 times a day, but then he said, well, that's still not going to work. So in Psalm 34, he wrote, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my lips. Stuff you run into in life and you don't know how to handle it. You just kind of shake your head. Well, you need more than shake your head. You need to go down on your knees and bow your head. Watch God move. The verse tells us in Daniel chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Daniel 1, 12, verse 13. Daniel said, test your servants. Then examine us as well as the other young people that ate the king's portion. Sure enough, the 10 days went by. They came out and examined them. They said, man, these guys are more nourished than the ones that ate the king food. So you know what they did? They took away their king's portion. They didn't offer it them to as an option because they had already dedicated their heart to serve God. At some point, the devil will stop tempting you if you keep looking at him. And if you keep telling the devil, get behind me, by the authority of Jesus Christ, get behind me. At a point, the devil going to say, well, I might as well go and get somebody else. Don't look like this one going to give in. But as long as he know that he's got that little corner in your life, you know how it is when somebody be picking, you say, go on, you don't really want him to go on. Go on, leave me alone. Don't bring that temptation. And a lot of it, you're enjoying it all the time. Come on now. I wish I could preach like I feel today. But when you make up your mind, when you start telling the devil, look, number one, I did that before and it didn't work then and it ain't going to work now. Get out of my face. By the authority of Jesus Christ. You got to rebuke the devil, and the Bible said he'll flee from you. And plus, I tell him, I'm already sold, bro. I don't know what you're coming here for. Jesus owns this. I may not be everything I ought to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Yeah, because he picked me up and turned me around. Come on, let's shout, it's Sunday. And he placed my feet on solid ground. He brought me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Yeah, I'm going to shout. And you know what the devil going to do? He's going to get tired of you testifying. Rebuke him with authority, and he'll depart from you. Daniel had no time to waste his life. Now, I want you to notice something else about him. Throughout his life, Daniel lived as a single man. I'll get on that on some other Sundays. Some of you are saying to yourself, I can't live single. I need somebody. And then when you get somebody, Lord, they ain't the one I wanted. I'm going to preach on that another Sunday. Some people have been blessed to have that relationship, but don't get mad at God because he hasn't sent you something. He ain't just send me somebody. And then the devil slipped right in. Let me get on this. Back to Dan. Back to the message. I'm just preaching. I'm just saying. All right. So what we got? Four things, right? Daniel chose purity over pleasure. Piety over power. He chose prayer over promotion. The last one, Daniel chose praise over pride. The greatest question of whether or not you can stand the blessings of God. The greatest question is not whether or not the Lord will bless you, but what are you going to do when you get the blessing? A lot of people can pray when trouble come their way. Right? A lot of people can handle it as long as they got to struggle. Oh, Lord, I need thee every hour. Oh, God. Yeah, you can do that. Trouble comes. Soon as you get blessed, as soon as you get into a position where now everything is all right, all of a sudden, well, maybe I'll go to church another Sunday. I got things to do. When it didn't matter what Sunday it was when you was in trouble. Can I preach? And let me go on and say it. I'm not faulting people for the decision that they make. Well, I can't go to church because Corona is everywhere. Well, Corona's at Walmart. It's even at the drugstore where they give drugs out. It's on the street. I don't see you stopping that. Can't do it, Corona. Number one in here, at least we prayed. I'm picking that in a row. I'm just saying. It's not how things are when you don't have. How will you handle this thing called success? When you're on your way up the ladder, everything's going
your way. You can pray and say, okay, I've got a little while to go, got a little ways to go, then I'm going to make it. I'm going to be secure. Okay, what happens when you get secure? What happens when you get a pocket full of money? What happens when you get acceptable by the world and now you got status, you got prestige, you got all of this wonderful thing? What will happen in your life? Will you still need God? I want you to look at the end of the life of Daniel. And it's right there in chapter 1. He gives you the conclusion as to how he lived his life by choice. Not only did Daniel choose to not defile himself with the king's meat, but you'll find in verse number 21, Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. He said, preacher, that doesn't say, it says everything. Whatever he did from the beginning, he was doing it at the end of his life. And the only reason why he didn't continue after that first year of King Cyrus is the Lord called him home. Are y'all still here? I've done the things of the world. Now I've decided to make Jesus my choice. And I don't just want to serve him because I need him. I want to serve him because I want to. In the country, we made want to one word, want to. I want it to be the desire of my heart, and I pray it's yours, that you will make Jesus your choice. Speaks volumes. On his tombstone, I believe it's written right here in verse 1, Daniel continued. Will you continue in God? Will you continue to trust him? Will you continue to lean upon the everlasting arms? Remember, it's a choice. That choice is yours. I close with that same poem that we quoted earlier. I choose to live by choice, not by chance, to be motivated and not manipulated, to make changes, not excuses, to excel and not compete. I choose self-esteem over self-pity. I choose to listen to the inner voice, not the random opinions of others. I continue, Daniel continued, I continue to do the things that others won't do so I can continue to do the things that others can't do. My, you and God can make a tremendous impact on this world, but you got to choose. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your awesome goodness. Thank you for your presence today. Lord, I am so happy in my heart, so happy that you give us a choice. And the thing we want to do with that choice is that we choose you. Because if we choose you, Lord, that's the best choice that we could ever make. Jesus, lead us. Jesus, guide us. Jesus, keep us. In your name we pray. Amen. I want to give the invitation. There might be one that says, well, preacher, I want to make God my choice. I want to rededicate my life to God. That's an old-fashioned thing we haven't done in a long time, right? Rededication. Nothing wrong with it. It's all a choice. If that's your desire today, if that's on your heart, then follow the leading of God and let him lead you in the path that you need to go. Because loving him is the greatest thing that we could ever do. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Oh, falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I ever done. Oh, somebody say, in his arms, I feel protected. In his arms, Oh, yes. Never disconnected. Oh, in his arm, I feel protected. It's the best place I ever be. Falling in love with Jesus. Oh, yeah, falling in love with Jesus. Come on up, Brother Joe. Falling in love with Jesus.
I'm sure that you may have heard about this volcanic activity down in the Caribbean. And St. Vincent and the Grenadines said, Lucia is not where I'm from. It's not too far from there. I think if you're a good swimmer, you can swim from St. Vincent to St. Lucia. So we want you to pray for those people. The islands are very small. And for the past probably 40 years that these volcanic activities have not really erupted. In fact, St. Lucia has one of those volcanoes that are dormant. And today we don't know what's gonna happen. And then a little bit further south, you have Martinique, which has a volcano. And at some point it became active. So God is speaking. Amen. So he wants us to speak to the world as he reveals his nature, himself through nature. So as we pray for the people of those islands and also pray for our country here as well. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the message this morning. You've spoken to us. Holy Spirit, we know that you have disclosed so many things to us, so that we pray that as you illuminate our hearts and transform our minds, as we leave here, we will go out and share in your love and your word to those, Father, who have not said yes to Christ. Lord, we know, Father, in those volcanic activities down throughout the islands that there are people who believed in you, and we do pray for them. Even those, Father, who have not yet accepted, may they remind themselves that we are all in this together and that, dear God, you are in control. Lord, we just pray that you will just help them and help us, oh God, to be able, Father, to comfort them. Because sometimes, Lord, as we study about the life of Barnabas, he was one who encouraged others to believe in the Son of God. And so, Lord, you have given us your spirit to encourage those, Father, who have not said yes to Christ. And even those, Father, who are struggling, you have encouraged us to encourage them. Empower us, O God, that we may continue to do this as we live here. Not only, Father, with our lives, but also with our conversations. Thank you for all of what you have done. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the pastor. And thank you, Father, for his family. May we continue to give you praise. May we continue to honor your name in all that we do and say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.